This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. As we just talked about with Chris Hurstum and David Shapira, Governor Brewer had what was in many ways a typical State of the State address. But one unexpected element was her announcement that she'd signed an executive order to, in her words, abolish Child Protective Services as we know it.
The time has come to statutorily establish a separate agency that focuses exclusively on the safety and well-being of children and helping families in distress without jeopardizing child safety. I call on the legislature to work with me to codify a new permanent agency.
House Minority Leader Chad Campbell said changes to CPS make sense, but the governor should have given lawmakers a heads up before her speech.
The devil's in the details, and I just don't have any of those details right now. None of us do. So if we keep doing things behind closed doors and keep doing things without talking to each other, it's going to continue to happen again and again.
That's House Minority Leader Chad Campbell with me to talk about the governor's action and what could be or should be different about a new CPS. Our Dana Namark, President and CEO of Children's Action Alliance, and Lori Roberts, columnist for the Arizona Republic. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Dana, first of all, Chad Campbell's response that the governor should have told everyone, given them a heads up. What's your reaction to that initially?
Well, it's certainly true we don't have any details yet, but that is yet to come. And I think the tough work begins now. We expect Governor Brewer, as she said, to involve the legislature from here on out and to see how do we develop this new agency. And we also expect Director Flanagan to work with stakeholders and community groups. And we have so many experts in Arizona who really need to be part of this process as well.
Larry, we have to get into the important parts of that process, but is this just simple politics? Should it matter to those of us in the public whether or not the governor gave the legislature a heads up on this action?
No, I don't think that matters. This was a first step and a very important one in my view. The important work, as Dana just said, begins now, and she's got to involve the legislature if she wants to start a new agency. She's got to bring in the best minds in this state to figure out how do we do this thing right after so many decades of problems. Why can't we be the model? Why can't we be the best? And I think that she's giving us that opportunity to do that.
One thing that Chris Hurstum, we talked briefly about CPS in the prior segment, Dana, he said that he's sort of disappointed that the governor decided to already put Charles Flanagan in the position. Not that he is disagreeing about Charles Flanagan's capabilities, but he's saying with a serious situation like this, this should be the national search. What are your thoughts?
Well, I view this as pressing the reset button and going into a transition period. It's the last year of Governor Brewer's term, and I think it was an important signal that change starts now, that we're not going to wait and we're not going to do business as usual. So I view this as a transition period where we can all come together and talk about what does this new agency look like.
Well, Lori, what should the new agency look like? I know that's a big... Let's look at the big picture first before we get down to specifics. What is the current incarnation of CPS doing right? Is there anything?
Well, that's hard to see because they're so cloaked in confidentiality. I'm assuming that for every child dead body that washes up on the shore, there are hopefully 100 where they've done the right thing. But I hear a lot from two kinds of people, and one are the people who, you know, their children are dying because CPS should have been watching and simply messed up the case. And the other is cases where children are taken for reasons of quote-unquote neglect, where really the neglect wasn't that bad. You could have dealt with it in the home. Sometimes there really wasn't much at all there. In both cases, it is a lack of thorough investigation and policies that say we're gonna take these children only when they need to be taken. Sometimes I think they're taken for other reasons, and that's a problem.
Dana, are the standards and policies set out clearly enough for people to know what they're doing? Because obviously there's been criticism of caseworkers, though it's really hard from my perspective to criticize caseworkers when they're already thrown in at that situation. But is there a feeling that people there working really know what they're supposed to do, what qualities, what situations apply, when and where?
No, and in fact, they're given varied directives that change very frequently. I don't think there's strong supervision or strong leadership or consistency in the policies, and it's not the fault of the caseworkers. And we've set them up for failure because their caseloads are truly unmanageable. And so there are certainly wonderful individual stories about caseworkers who are dedicated and do a fabulous job, but the system is very weak. And I heard Senate President Andy Biggs the other day say we need a nose-to-toes review, and I love that expression. And that we really need to be willing to start over. And it doesn't mean everything needs to be thrown out. Some things might be working, but we have to look at everything.
Based on the surprise of these 6,000-plus cases that were never even looked into, to be cynical, why should we be confident that people at the legislature, people involved currently, not that they're not dedicated, not that they don't care, of course they do, but that they have any idea what they're doing to fix the system?
Well, that's why we really need to bring in both national and Arizona experts on not just investigations, but all aspects of child abuse and neglect. This is not something that Charles Flanagan can do by himself, nor should he. So I really think we need to assemble a team and learn lessons from other states. We're not going to copy any other state. We know that we're going to be different, but we can certainly learn lessons and look at models, but also turn to our own experts within the state. We have many folks in the private sector, many retired leaders from CPS, who we need to bring together and make part of this process.
I think you need to take this agency down to its foundation. Every time you poke a hole around there, something horrifying crawls out. I'll give you a great example. Last month, we found out that CPS, when they take a call of a potential criminal abuse case, if they can't find an address on the child, rather than sending it over to the Office of Child Welfare Investigations, where presumably they have more resources to find, to locate people, they simply do the equivalent of putting the case into a drawer. Instead of it rising to the level of a report, it becomes what they call a status communication, which basically means a memo that goes into a file. Now, I have tracked down one child who died as a result of that policy this summer. We need to take this agency down and look at it policy by policy and have people who, smart people, way smarter than me, who understand how these things work, rebuild it in a thoughtful, logical, common sense way. And we need to clarify the mission of this agency.
Okay.
Forever since I've been watching it, the mission has been blurred. On the one hand, it's to protect children. On the one hand, the other hand, it's to strengthen families. Sometimes the two are in conflict, and I don't think that caseworkers on the ground are always given proper instruction as to how you resolve that conflict.
And I want to say that those two are not always in conflict. And in fact, very often the best way to protect children is to strengthen their family. Foster care really needs to be a last resort, and it needs to be a resort that we do well and that we pay attention to. But there's so much research and personal experience showing us that foster care is traumatic. Those kids tend to suffer very poor results lifelong because of the trauma they've suffered. So if we can and when we can help them stay safely with their families and help their parents get back on track, that is a much better option.
I completely agree with you on that. But when it is not a good option, I mean, we have seen cases. And again, the cases that I see are the ones of serious, serious abuse.
Right.
But in those cases, you will see all the efforts to reunify. It is the go-to position of CPS to try to reunify. I'm sorry, but some families just shouldn't be. Most mm-hmm. should be. Mm-hmm. As you have noted before, 82% of the cases that come into CPS are neglect cases. And that's one of the things that's going to have to be looked at here is, do we want to just yank all those kids and put them into foster care? I'd say probably no. And this is where the legislature is going to come in with ponying up the funds to make sure that we can, on the front end, help these children who are being neglected so that they can stay in their home and we get a better result.
Dana, can enough be done, and what is being done to improve the situation for families? Is there enough prevention out there? Is there enough telling people, you know, this shouldn't be a cyclical thing? If, in fact, you were abused by a parent or an uncle or somebody, you shouldn't do that to the next generation.
There's very little out there, and we shredded our safety net during the recession at the very time that families were losing their homes and their jobs and their health insurance, and so families have very few places to turn for help. We need to rebuild that, and that doesn't only mean state government. That means at the community level, but we have to have a focus and work together, and one thing I'm very optimistic about, I'm hearing legislators from both parties talk about that issue that I have not heard in the last 5 years and see the recognition that there is a link between support for families and prevention and having a CPS system that is completely overwhelmed and unsustainable. So we're looking forward to working on that.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A few more minutes left in our conversation about CPS with Dana Namark and Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic. Lori, we talk about having a newer, clearer mission. Will that be easier or less difficult, shall we say, with CPS being broken off from the Department of Economic Security?
I don't think that it would be any different, actually. You can create a mission and say what it is, but I think everything will be easier when you have a standalone, streamlined agency with a singular focus on the issue of how do we keep our children safe. Part of the answer to how we keep our children safe is that we thoroughly investigate when a case of potential abuse comes in. Part of how we keep our children safe is that when we go out and we find out the issue is neglect, that they don't have enough food in the house, we figure out a way to bring food in rather than ripping the child out of the house. I don't think it should be that tough. I know that's simplistic, but boiled down to its essence, if we can get a new focus, clean out the old culture that is there, bring a more transparent organization so that when there are problems, we can talk about them, see them, and fix them rather than sweeping them under the well-worn rug. I think things could go well for children for the first time in a long time in this state. That's my Pollyanna view, but I really think that this week was a good first step. But you got to do more now, and it falls to the legislature. You got to do more than just change the nameplate on the agency to a different acronym. You got to follow it up with real reform and the money to back it up.
Well, money was a question we didn't get to yet, Dana. So if we're looking at the budget situation, obviously the governor's going to come out with her budget plan on Friday. We don't know what it is yet. Is there even a figure you could throw out there to say this is based on what we've seen in the past few years, based on what emergency funding was, this is what the next budget year should have directed toward the safety of children?
Well, what the Department of Economic Security requested for CPS and OCWI, the Office of Child Welfare Investigations combined, was 444 additional staff and $116 million additional dollars. That includes $50 million to update their computer system. So I think that gives us a baseline. Now, obviously, we need to revamp systems, so I don't think the budget should look exactly like what they asked for, because we need to update our systems and our procedures and our policies. But I think that gives us a little bit of a benchmark of the range of dollars we're talking about. That does not include anything for prevention or family support, zero. Mm-hmm. So that will have to be in addition to that. Our child care funding has been cut by $70 million over the past 4 years. Now, that is not all going to be restored in 1 year. We do not expect that. But that's the range that we're talking about that we need to look at for our vision for the future.
Lori, talk about that a little bit. Even if it's not specific numbers, do you think the legislature is going to get the message that this is the kind of money that's needed? We've heard a lot of word from Republicans this concern that, yes, we have a surplus in this budget year, maybe next year, but then there's a real worry about going off the cliff again. So do you think the commitment will be there?
Well, a lot of legislators are on record as saying never again as it relates to the 6,554 cases that were not investigated. So those words will come back to haunt them, I fear, if they don't make a serious commitment. One of the questions I am hearing from legislators is that, you know, of those 6,554 cases that were not investigated, a number of them were in 2013, which is a year when the legislature gave CPS an additional $70 million, give or take a million here or there, for the exact purpose of hiring new caseworkers and support staff. And so a lot of people are saying, well, you know, in a year when we give you $70 million more, you have the biggest problem of all. So there are going to be some skeptics out there who will say, we're not going to pour good money after bad into this current system with this current management. Mm-hmm. But I doubt they'll get nobody ever gets everything that they want. I'm not even sure if the figure that DES has asked for is appropriate until we know, you know, what the new thing is going to look like. I think you're going to have short-term money, and then you're going to have a long-term, more strategic idea of what you need as we redo this agency. You can't do it overnight. Shouldn't do it overnight. They'll get some more money. The question will be how much, and then how will they spend it?
And Dana, let me close with one more specific question, and that's about Charles Flanagan. He's been involved in juvenile corrections, and now the governor wants him in charge. He's been in charge of the care team. Now she wants him in charge of whatever the new CPS transition would be. Is that a good fit? Someone who's been in juvenile corrections and CPS, can those fit together? I don't want to stereotype him under either, but for some, that would be a troublesome combination.
I think Charles Flanagan is a very strong leader and has a great sensitivity to what it takes to make a state agency work well, what it takes to set a vision and goals. And I've been very impressed at the Department of Juvenile Corrections that his vision and goals focus on the kids. He is truly focused on that, and we certainly need that at CPS, as Lori has described. I see this as a transition time, and certainly he does not have a background in child abuse and neglect. So we would urge him to assemble a leadership team that brings in expertise and a background during that process.
Lori, about 30 seconds, final thoughts?
I think Flanagan is an excellent choice. He's drilling deep into the agency right now as we speak over these last few months. By January 31st, he has to come up with a series of recommendations, both short-term and strategic, for he and his care team. I think he's perfectly placed to organizationally go in there with a lot of input and create something new. Whether he'll be the long-term head of CPS or whatever we're calling it, I don't know. But he's been in government for 28 years, so I doubt that he was going to be a long-termer anyway. I think he's the perfect transition choice.
Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic, Dana Namark of Children's Action Alliance. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.